Job chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Well, we just read at the end of chapter 2 that Job and the friends sat in silence. And then at the end of the book, after an awful lot of talking, they all also are reduced to silence. And we, I think, overall get the impression that they would have all done much better if they had remained silent. Job responded, "Let the day perish in which I was born, the night in which it was said, there is a boy conceived. Let that day be darkness. Don't let God from above seek for it, neither let the light shine on it. Let darkness and the shadow of death claim it for their own. Let a cloud dwell on it. Let all that makes black the day terrify it. As for that night, let thick darkness seize on it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not be counted in the number of the months. Let that night be barren. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it who curse the day, who are ready to rouse up Leviathan. Let the stars of its twilight be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the eyelids of the morning, because it didn't shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor did it hide trouble from my eyes. Why didn't I die from the womb? Why didn't I give up the spirit when my mother bore me? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breast that I should nurse? For now, should I have lain down and been quiet, I should have slept. Then I would have been at rest with kings and counsellors of the earth, who built up waste places for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver." So quite clearly, he understands death as being unconsciousness, and he understands all these mighty people who are now dead as being at rest and sleeping. So death is asleep. We don't go anywhere when we're dead. We have no immortal soul. Death is unconsciousness until, for those responsible to God, the resurrection from the dead when Jesus returns. So he's in depression here, and he's wishing he'd never been born. These words are repeated, really, by Jeremiah when he's very depressed. And I think one thing you learn from that is that when you're depressed, when you're down, think about other people, including other people in the Bible, who have also been depressed and down. And as I say, Jeremiah quotes these words of Job about himself. At the end of it, though, God says that Job has spoken about me the thing which is right. And he's very positive about Job at the end. And yet, this is a very down thing to say, that I wish I'd never been born. Well, all I can say is that I think that it shows that God cuts people some slack when they are in extreme situations. That doesn't mean that it's okay to misbehave or say the wrong things or whatever when we are down or whatever, but it does show that God is very, very positive about the overall direction of a person's life and not their weak moments. And I think that we have to remember that when we encounter others who are maybe depressed or in extreme situations and coming out with things that maybe don't really reflect what they really think. So he talks about death. He says, "There the wicked cease from troubling, there the weary are at rest." So clearly he doesn't think that the wicked in death are being tormented. He says, "The wicked cease from all their troubles, and the weary are at rest. The prisoners are at ease together. They don't hear the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there. The servant is free from his master." So he understands death as unconsciousness. And yet, Job, and throughout the Bible, we read continually that there will be a time of judgment. Now, that will be when Jesus comes back. But until then, we are unconscious. Why is light given to him who is in misery, life to the bitter in soul, who long for death but it doesn't come, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? Well, I think that there is a reason why someone who is in such a terrible situation is given life. And I think that one thing that comes out of the book of Job is that Job went through all this not because he'd sinned, because we're told that God says, it says to Satan, you're trying to get me to ruin Job. without cause. In other words, Job was not suffering because he'd sinned. And one reason why he suffered, I think, was that so that through it all he could pray for his friends and save them by doing so. So why is life given to a man who is in such a situation? Well, there is an answer, that we might pray for others, that we might be able to be a light to others and to bring them to salvation. My sighing comes before I eat, my groanings are poured out like water, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. I was not at ease, neither was I quiet, neither had I rest, but trouble came. So perhaps he'd always feared losing his wealth and losing his health. I suppose most healthy, wealthy people do fear losing it. And he did. I think the emphasis on having lost his health and his wealth rather shows that this idea of the prosperity gospel that God wants you to be healthy and wealthy is just not so. Because Job didn't have those things. These things were taken from him. And there was a purpose for that, and the book of Job explores some of the reasons for that. The ultimate health and wealth is in the kingdom of God when Jesus comes back.